Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes. The list goes on and on. The most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Got Mike Sempervivi here as always, and we have plenty of stuff to talk about over the next 2 hours. It is the official, at least in terms of sports byline, not in terms of WWE, the official WWE Elimination Chamber pay-per-view pre-show. Show is kicking off on the WWE Network in about an hour. They're doing a pre-show with The Miz, doing a Miz TV with Daniel Bryan, which I think is Daniel Bryan's first real interview since he has disappeared off television with whatever injury they are trying to keep quiet. So we'll be talking about that here on the air, as well as a full preview of the Elimination Chamber show. We got a lot of matches. We'll do the preview, thoughts on all of them. And, of course, there's a lot of other news as well. I do very much want to talk about this ROH TNA Destination America deal. We've been talking about it all week, but been getting some questions in the email bin that have required me to talk about this here on the air, because a lot of people have some expectations, and I think we should probably address those here, because if people continue to have those expectations, they're going to be disappointed with this whole ROH TNA deal on Destination America. So we're going to talk about that. Not taking phone calls yet, but we will later on in the hour. And we'll be opening up all of the phone lines. The number here, 855-478-4478. Also, the sports byline number, 1-800-878-PLAY. That is 1-800-878-7529. We'll be opening up those after a while as well. Email brian@wrestlingobserver.com. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Sempervivi. Sports Byline is at Sports Byline USA. We'll be back in just a moment to kick it all off. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Sunday here, so a lot of stuff to get into, not the least of which is Elimination Chamber, which is coming up in about an hour on the WWE Network. This is, I believe, the first ever major pay-per-view, if you even want to call it that, that is not airing anywhere on pay-per-view. It is exclusive on the WWE Network, which is sad news for the tens of thousands of people that still order on pay-per-view every single month because they live somewhere where they are unable to get traditional pay-per-view. Mike, are you excited for this show today?
You know what? Yes, just because of Kevin Owens and John Cena. The Elimination Chamber is it's a gimmick match that I really like a lot when there's something really riding on it. And I know there's been a lot of wacky names that have been in this in the past, you know, Kozlov and, you know, guys like that. But this year it's even more so because the tag team one is just, again, it's the way that division is and how it's been. This isn't, to me, it's just kind of a waste. It's just having something to have it. But with that said, with having John Cena and Kevin Owens on the card, I mean, just for that alone, you got to be somewhat excited about it to see what direction they're going to go in. No matter which direction they do go, I have a feeling we'll have a lot to talk about the rest of the week.
Well, I think that more people are excited about Owens and Cena than pretty much any other match on this show. And so we should start with that. And the big question is, what do you do for a finish? Kevin Owens has laid out John Cena twice with his move, and traditionally in WWE, when they do that, that usually means that John Cena is going to win. But as we talked about earlier in this week, this is Kevin Owens' move up to the main roster. He signed a new deal. He is going to be on Raw tomorrow. He's going to be on pretty much all of the TV going forward. He's going to be working regular WWE main roster house shows in about 3 weeks now. So calling him up to the main roster and beating him in his first major match, I don't think that is the ideal scenario. However, it is interesting, the idea that he's laid out Cena twice and then would beat him here. Now, we pretty much been told shortly before the show went on the air that this is just the first match of many. They're going to be doing a rematch at Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank is 2 weeks away, believe it or not. And that would mean you've got to do some sort of screw job finish here. What that is, I don't know. I don't know if you're talking a screw job finish to lead to a pinfall. It is a non-title match, so Owens could beat Cena via pinfall. They could do a DQ. There's a million ways they could go. What are your thoughts on this match, particularly the finish?
John Cena can beat Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens could get disqualified for kicking too much ass. The match could get out of control or something like that. I think as long as you have a finish where Kevin Owens completely lays waste to John Cena afterwards, and he is standing over him, and maybe he is destroying the U.S. title belt, no matter what it is, as long as Kevin Owens comes out of this thing better than when he went in and comes out of it more of a monster, then we're all good, because this is going to be something that continues. And, you know, yes, did Kevin Owens lose his first match coming up? Yeah, but you know what? If he does something, if he's great during the match, which he probably will be, and he makes a real impact after the match, again, destroying Cena, because you're going to continue to go forward with this, I think that's okay. I would rather have Owens win. I think it makes more sense, but you've already said they've already had John Cena be laid out twice. This is Cena beat Rusev three straight shots from WrestleMania on. So they don't like seeing John Cena laid out too much all the time. But and another reason for that is, too, are you going to get some sort of wackiness in the main event? I'm sure you are, which, you know, technically Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose is the main event. Rollins, the way things usually go, there's going to be a lot of chicanery and all that stuff at the end. So do you want to do that in two matches? So that could be, another reason that either Cena or Owens should win clean in this match. But again, as long as Owens is kicking ass on John Cena and coming out of this looking like more of a threat to everybody on that roster, I think that's really all that matters.
I mean, you could do a deal where Owens just beats him clean. I think it's highly unlikely, but I mean, they did do it with Lesnar at SummerSlam last year, and you could do a deal where Owens beats him clean in the middle, and the title is not on the line. You set up for a rematch with the belt on the line at Money in the Bank. John Cena gets his win there. You set up for a third match, some sort of stipulation match for the... And, of course, John Cena can win that one. It probably wouldn't matter at that point if Owens got at least one big win on the guy. But, I mean, you could do that. There's a million scenarios. The one scenario I do not want to see is Kevin Owens losing to John Cena, which I hope... I sincerely hope, especially if they're coming back for a second match, that's not what they're planning on doing here.
Again, I think the only way you can do that is, you know, Owens has got to be killing him for most of it, and Cena gets the banana peel. But I mean, as soon as, you know, the music hits and it's like the winner of this match is John, and the dun dun dun, as soon as it gets to dun, Kevin Owens has got to be killing John Cena. And you obviously, in this day and age, you can't leave John Cena laying there in a pool of his own blood. But you have him laying there in a way after Owens rolls him outside of the ring and gives him the pop-up powerbomb onto the apron. And maybe he does it, you know, across the entrance ramp or something like that. You have everybody kind of sitting there in shock, and Kevin Owens still going to be a menace and a killer that's got something for John Cena.
I mean, you could do the powerbomb on the apron spot and just have the referee wave the match off. I mean, the only problem is they did it with Sami Zayn twice now. But
that could be Owens' thing of just this brutal, husky dude who just... He's just about hurting people. He wants money. You know, that's how he's been portrayed anyway.
I got another thing for you. So they've got a bunch of Kevin Owens shirts that are now going on sale. One of them is a Fight Owens Fight shirt. I presume one of them is a KO shirt, because obviously Kevin Owens KO. But if you remember, and this is going back to like 2002, the original idea they had for Brock Lesnar was that he was going to beat everyone via KO. Everybody was just going to be knocked out. He wasn't going to be using the F5 and the pinfall finish. He was just going to be destroying dudes and laying them out. And obviously they didn't go that direction, because that's a lot of top guys that you've got to knock out. But they could do that with Kevin Owens for a while. I mean, Cassius Ohno was going to do the KO gimmick.
There's where it really pays off, because you look at how WWE needs to market things and trademark things and make sure they have it as their own, no matter how goofy or wacky it may sound. Do they have all the rights to the KO stuff because of Cassius Ohno?
I'm positive they do.
There you go. I mean, even a better reason then.
So yeah, he could do the gimmick where he's knocking out everybody. Maybe with, I don't know how you could do it. I mean, you got to have a finish. I mean, the last Sami Zayn match where they didn't even ring the bell, I kind of think that was a disaster, but you could
In French Quebec tradition, how about the cannonball?
You could do the power bomb on the apron, and he could be winning by count out. You could do the power bomb on the apron, the referee stops the match. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can do it.
Be like the Montreal Canadiens and win everything by choke. It'd be lose everything by choke. Never mind, go ahead.
There's plenty of ways that you could go with this, but suffice to say, at the end of the day, I will officially predict here that John Cena does not beat Kevin Owens clean. I could look like a complete idiot in about 3 hours. Wouldn't be the first time, but...
By the way, that's just a joke if Case Richard in Montreal is listening. That was just for Helmy and Helmy alone.
I'm sure he is listening, and he'll probably call you very upset about that.
Sorry.
So yeah, that's the real main event of the show. They're also obviously doing the Elimination Chamber match for the vacant Intercontinental title. Believe it or not, Rusev is still officially listed as being a participant in this match. Even though he's been removed from all shows due to his ankle injury, he's not being advertised anywhere. I don't think he's going to be on the show today, but I guess maybe their feeling is it's a free May. This show is not on pay-per-view. May as well false advertise because he's still listed there. Sheamus, Ryback, Truth, Barrett, Rusev, and Ziggler.
He rolls out, but he can't get up to beat up Dolph, who's making out with Lana because he's in the wheelchair.
Hey, he's still supposed to be at the show. I'm wondering if they're going to do the wheelchair gimmick.
There you go.
The angry Russian in the wheelchair, ranting and raving at everybody. Bulgarian, I apologize. We're going to head to a break. We'll talk more about this show after the break. A little bit later on, we'll be taking your phone calls as well. So stand by, everybody. Back in a moment. Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. And apparently, according to that guy, the phone lines are open. So the phone lines are open. 855-478-4478. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada, 855-478-4478. That was quick. Already ringing. As well as 1-800-878-PLAY. That is 1-800-878-7529. If you want to give us a call today, we'll take calls here in just a moment. I just got the odds for this show coming up here tonight. And I know that some people do not like when we read the odds because they consider them spoilers. But let me tell you something. You cannot spoil an upcoming live event. That is impossible. If it were possible, I would be a millionaire right now. So I'm going to read these odds. And realistically, I mean, most of the odds anyway are what you would expect. And I would guess that some of these will likely change. We've got Seth Rollins as the favorite to retain the WWE title. New Day, favorites to retain the tag team titles. This shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. Sheamus is the current favorite to win the Intercontinental title. And really, if anything on this show changes, I wouldn't be surprised if they put the Intercontinental title on somebody else because realistically it doesn't matter. We've got the women's title. The favorite right now is Naomi, followed by Paige. So the odds makers don't think Nikki Bella is leaving with the belt one way or the other. And Bo Dallas, shockingly, is the underdog against Neville. And finally, we've got John Cena and Kevin Owens. Have you seen the odds for this one yet, Mike?
I'm looking at them on Five Dimes right now. I don't know what you're on. But very close.
Right now, John Cena is a very, very close favorite to beat Kevin Owens. And granted, none of these are set in stone. In fact, the smart money usually doesn't come in for another hour and a half or so. So anything can happen. And I would guess that whatever they do in that Owens-Cena match, because the odds are so close, it probably is not going to destroy either man. I don't think pinfall is in the cards here. Cena could win via DQ. Owens could powerbomb him to oblivion on the ring apron, and Cena wins via DQ. That's still a win, but Kevin Owens would come out stronger. So I wouldn't worry too much about these odds, but those are the current odds. So
there's a lot of talent on the show. There really is. But again, if you take John Cena and Kevin Owens out of this mix, and you have to figure there's, again, going to be some sort of nonsense when it comes to the ending of Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. Even though there's a lot of talent on this show, you're looking at the Elimination Chambers, and they do seem like wastes. Look at how R-Truth, I mean, R-Truth beating Barrett, but just, you know, the fact that R-Truth is in this type of match, no offense to any of the tag teams, and they haven't done this before, so first time for everything, but the Ascension and the Los Matadores and the primetime players and Kalisto and Sin Cara. I mean, if you're going to put two teams in a cage, it should just be Kofi and Big E and Xavier against Natty Tyson and Cesaro. I mean, that would have been good enough right there. To me, this seems like a little bit of a waste of a chamber. Although, I know it's for marketing, and I know it's because they just wanted to do something to add to the WWE Network to do their thing there.
All right, it is Sunday. That means open lines. Shall we take bets, Mike, on who this caller is going to be?
I know who I'm picking.
You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland.
Ryan! Yes.
I have a question about Elimination Chamber. I noticed a lot of the bars, restaurants tonight are advertising Elimination Chamber at their restaurant. How is this possible?
Wait, they are?
According to my Facebook page, they are. So how does a restaurant go about doing this legally? And what's the cost of them to do this?
Ryan has asked the most compelling question of 2015. Who would have ever thought? I don't know how. They should not be able to rebroadcast that in their bar unless they've made some sort of deal with WWE, and I hadn't heard anything.
And the average bar is not going to be able to come up with whatever number. In fact, most major bars will probably never be able to come up with the number that they would have to have the rights to show the WWE Network special events. If they're doing it, they're doing it illegally.
I know it's very expensive. You have to order $25 worth of food to go in there, and it's around the New York area.
Really? Well, listen, Ryan, I want to thank you very much for a really good
call. It's around the New York area.
If anybody's listening and has a bar in their area that is advertising the Elimination Chamber, please let me know, and I'll try and find out from the WWE side during the show if that is kosher.
So need to set this man's head at ease.
How about that? That's actually fascinating. All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Oh, hi. This is Paul from Barbersville, a.k.a. Paul Siebert on the board, and I have a little bit of a follow-up call from a couple of weeks ago.
How exciting.
I pointed out a couple of weeks that the wrestling dog movie, Russell Madness, featuring Johnny Mundo of Lucha Underground fame, as the lead heel was on Netflix, and you told me to watch it and get back to you to see if it was worth your time.
Yes.
And I hate to break this to you, but it is indeed a very bad movie.
No. I'm shocked.
It's far from the worst directed-to-video kids movie I've ever seen, and to be honest, after watching a couple beers, having a couple beers, I had a good time laughing at the absurdity. I mean, we get to see a dog put a grown man in a rear naked choke and a child.
Wait a second. The dog puts a human in a rear naked choke.
And not a St. Bernard either. This is a small dog, correct?
That is true.
Okay, as a professional jiu-jitsu instructor, I call shenanigans on the idea that a dog could apply a rear naked choke to a human.
Well, I guess you could argue it was technically a sleeper hold, but from the way they shot it, it was really hard to tell the difference.
How did they shoot it?
Well, to be honest, there was a lot of CGI smoke and mirrors BS. I mean, not to get snobby, but, you know, the original Air Bud, they actually found a dog that could do all sorts of neat tricks with a basketball and shot a film around that.
Sure.
This one, they did not find a wrestling dog.
They just found a dog.
See, well, this is, is one of the tragedies of the business changing. There used to be the guy was Dave McKinley with the Bears and all that stuff, and there was the bear that wrestled in Memphis all the time. This is the lack of dedication to the business that we are not bringing up animals in this way anymore. Too much out there with PETA and everything else. We're not getting good trained wrestling dogs who know how to work anymore. It's all high spots and CGI.
Well, listen, I know that we were considering actually watching that movie, but
you still should.
Vinny watched the trailer and literally threatened to quit if I made him watch that movie. So it's going to be a difficult task. And this is Vinny. You can imagine the horrible things he's watched in his lifetime.
Well, maybe you could get Wang to watch it and just not tell him what it's about.
Brent Crumman,
Wang would watch it without any problem whatsoever. I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about Vinny.
Oh, well,
Here's an idea. Craig and his son.
Craig and his son would be that would be a lot easier, I think. But I don't know if Cameron would be as entertaining talking about Russell Madness as Vinny would be. Russell Madness, everybody, it's available on... Thank God I didn't buy it before Vinny threatened to quit, because I would have been really upset. It is available on iTunes, and it does,
you
in fact, feature...
You could have had a feel-good story.
A dog wrestling John Morrison. What could be better? To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Dave from Wisconsin.
Yes, Dave.
So, just going off you guys' reports for the last, I guess, month when they announced the Elimination Chamber... It's my understanding it was kind of a spur-of-the-moment decision.
That's right.
Okay, so how did they go around getting an arena booked this fast? And if you know, how well did the ticket sales go?
I presume the tickets are close to sold out. I mean, they had another show in the area that ended up being canceled. But I don't know all of the details around the building. I'll try and get some information before the show goes off the air. But I mean, they had a hard enough time; they couldn't get it on traditional pay per view, and you know that they're not just going to throw that money away. So it was absolutely a last minute decision. But apparently, booking the building was easier than getting it on pay per view.
Well, and did they already have it booked? I mean, as part of the tour? No, they changed some things up for.
Yeah, because regardless, the house show was elsewhere.
It's Corpus Christi, so it can't be that massive of a building or anything like that. And maybe, you know, we'd have to look back at the numbers, and I'll send up the Mookie Ghana Dave Meltzer signal up into the air if they've got a quick read on how Corpus Christi is as a town for them, you know, especially when they don't have Latin superstars. And maybe they just figure they could roll.
The last four of them have been awful.
Oh, ooh, great.
As far as the crowd.
That's good to know.
But all else I have is that you should get Wang to review Russell Madness or whatever it is.
That's what everybody seems to want. Yeah. Well, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call. The American Bank Center, it says here, hosts numerous conventions, trade shows, exhibitions, live performances, and sporting events, hockey, indoor football, and NCAA basketball. So I would presume they just had nothing going on here today. And as a trivia note... It says here that in 2007, the arena was the site for a controversial event in WWE. The same day as the scheduled show, Chris Benoit died. Show was canceled. Fans received a full refund for their tickets. How about that?
Hmm.
I was completely unaware of that till just now. There you go. American Bank Center, everybody. We're going to head to a break. If you're on the line, stand by through the break. We'll also be taking calls on the sports byline number, which is 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. Our number here in the studio, 855-478-4478. Give us a call. Back in a moment with more Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Got some updates, then we're going to go back to the phone. First off, as noted by several people on Twitter, and this is what happened, the building was already booked. They had a Texas loop for the show this weekend with Corpus Christi tonight, San Antonio for Raw tomorrow, Houston Tuesday for SmackDown. And essentially I was told WWE cannot add a last-minute show in one arena because then they have to book two others to follow for Raw and SmackDown. And I was also told, this from WWE, if a bar has the WWE network, then they can put it on television. I don't believe, however, they can charge an entrance fee. But they can say if you're going to sit there for 3 hours and there is a $20 food drink minimum. So I guess that's how they're getting around it for the bars that happen to be playing Elimination Chamber here tonight.
You know, multiple Apple TVs spread throughout the bar, you know.
Sure, yeah.
it's like somebody's got their own version of WWE World.
Well, hey, you can use one password on 10 devices, so it shouldn't be a big problem for this.
This is true. All you need is internet access, I guess.
All right, let's go to the phones. Ed in San Antonio on the sports byline number. You're on the air. What's up?
Well, I was actually calling because I thought I was going to be forced to call in and correct you, but I guess everyone from Twitter has beaten me to it. You would think one of the top wrestling reporters in the world would know such a thing, but I guess not.
I don't know. I think he had a pretty good week.
Yeah, whatever. Speaking of, we are 6 weeks away from our F4W Wrestling Observer Vegas convention, and I just want to remind everybody that there is still time to go, And you can join us for a whole lot of fun in Vegas, like our banquet on Friday night, which will feature a Q&A. And if there are any disgruntled TNA fans who are still angry with Dave and you would like to have the opportunity to debate Dave over dinner, email me, and for about $500, I'll make sure you're sitting right next to Dave. So
$500? If any of these disgruntled TNA fans would like to sit next to Dave, I'll set it up for free as part of this Q&A.
No, because maybe Billy will do it and pay the $500.
I hadn't thought about that.
First off, you have no say in this. Are you even going? Have you even booked airfare or a hotel or bought tickets to the banquet?
Well, no, but I am going.
I like how Ed almost called it Vegas vacation, which I need to know.
Struggling to not call it Vegas vacation.
Who is the Uncle Eddie of the group?
That would be Vinny.
That's not too bad.
I also got an email from Vinny's biggest fan who was asking for information, but I haven't heard back. So I'm going to be very disappointed if Vinny V's biggest fan doesn't come to Vegas.
I will as well.
John in Memphis?
Yeah, John in Memphis. I'll be very upset if he doesn't show up.
Mm. You got
anyway,
any more, Ed?
Yes,
yeah,
Ed?
I did. I wanted to ask you. Well, I've become a real big fan of the New Day, and I'm kind of hoping.
I'm shocked. They're all males.
Well, they do need to add Cameron to the group. That would make it perfect.
Actually, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, that is pretty good as a cheerleader.
Yeah. But do you think they're going to retain, or do you think they're going to switch it back to Tyson and Cesaro, or maybe give the Lucha Dragons the title to give them a bit of a push?
I do expect the New Day to retain. I want to thank you very much for the call, Ed. But that would be my prediction.
Ed, let me give you a tip, too. Stardom from March 29th, Io Shirai and Kairi Hojo. You're welcome.
All righty. Should note, by the way, that I have just gotten word that WWE should be reporting any moment, you'll be shocked, Mike, that Rusev is out of the show.
No.
Yeah.
Is Scott Stanford going to bust in on the network?
It's possible.
Let me turn this on.
Yeah, turn it on right now. We got 15 minutes, but you may as well monitor it. To the phones, you are on the air, figure four line. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Is this me?
It's you.
Oh, it's Josh from Kansas City. Sorry, I was listening to Ed the whole time.
I apologize for that. Jesus.
Yeah, so yeah, put you into a trance. Sorry.
I got two quick questions. One for Mike. What do you think about the best Super Junior so far and Finley Jr.?
That's right, Finley Jr.
I really haven't seen any of it. I need to catch up badly here. I missed everything. I missed the earthquake taking place during one of the matches. I mean, I've pretty much missed everything.
Yeah, that's right. What happened when that happened?
It was during. I'm trying to think it was
caught yesterday's or this morning's show, but I've watched about half of them, and Finley Jr. looks pretty damn good.
Does he? Well, I'd say it wouldn't surprise me with him being there. I mean, him and Cody Hall over there too is a member of the Bullet Club Young Boy group. I need to watch it to bone up on it very quickly here. I've been watching a lot of Japanese stuff, but I've been trying to catch up on stuff. Like I had that little tip to Ed about the Stardom match from all over Japan, and I just have kind of let it go, and it kind of jogged me into needing to, because they're getting close to the end here. They've been going through it, and seeing the thing with Taguchi, and I think it was Kyle O'Reilly yesterday, having the earthquake taking place, or 2 days ago, having the earthquake take place during the match, was a reminder here I need to catch back up quickly.
And only one other thing for Brian. Correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't they talking about on Raw that Elimination Chamber was for the WWE Network, and they kept saying in the USA? Does that mean that in other countries that have pay-per-view deals that possibly like a Sky Network or something is going to be playing the Elimination Chamber to where you don't have to have the WWE Network to watch a show tonight?
Maybe we need to get Ed on the air because he might know. I have no idea. I'm not exactly sure how it's working elsewhere in the world, but I'm sure I will get a tweet literally at any time, and then I'll let you know.
Yeah, I figure we haven't heard any feedback from the UK. I figured if it was not available there for any reason, you know, I think we probably would have already heard about it by now.
And in fact, the notification did just come out, breaking. Due to injury, Rusev is out of tonight's Intercontinental Title Elimination Chamber match. Who will take his spot? And the name that we heard last week, actually, was Bray Wyatt. So I guess we'll find out if that's who replaces him. Usually the replacement wins, but I don't see Bray Wyatt as your Intercontinental Champion. I could be wrong.
Well, he hasn't lost much this year, and, you know, it's possible. I mean, is he still doing the thing with Ryback?
Yes, he is.
I mean, you Ryback getting revenge and giving Wyatt his only loss that anybody will know about other than to The Undertaker, and winning the Intercontinental title, and you know he's going to get probably a good reaction from the crowd whenever that were to happen. That may not be the worst idea in the world. I mean, it makes more sense than, you know, Sheamus has still got a chance right now, but Barrett's, you know, just turned into, again, another sad state when it comes to Wade Barrett. They've had so many chances with him. I know he's gone out a lot too, but that's also given him the chance to be rebuilt back up, and they failed with it every time. R-Truth shouldn't even be in the match. You know, there's nobody else there that really, you know, would strike your fancy at all. So why not do something like that? I mean, yeah, I guess Sheamus could be in line for it. But, you know, if you're not going to have Reigns win the title anytime soon, why not do Reigns and Sheamus? I mean, that may not be the worst idea in the world, especially if Brock Lesnar's coming back and they've changed up a lot of stuff where we may get Rollins and Lesnar maybe sooner than we know it, or that's going to be the dominant thing going on. So Reigns being the odd man out in that scenario, we need to have him with something. Have him with Sheamus.
Well, hold on.
But I'm almost done. With Rusev's injury is bad. I think it's very fortunate for him, because him being thrown in the Elimination Chamber for the IC title doesn't mean a whole lot for him either. So this may actually be for the best for him too.
Well, first off, Barrett is very unlikely to win, because apparently he's going to be leaving to film a movie. And so if he's going to be gone, probably not going to be him. I don't understand why they would put Rusev in the chamber if he wasn't going to win. So maybe the idea was that Rusev was going to win, maybe with or without help from Lana. Who even knows? I don't even know what they're doing with Lana right now. I mean, if you watch a lot of WWE, the obvious finish would have been that Lana screws Dolph and Rusev wins, and you put Lana and Rusev back together. But I don't think they want to put them together. I think they want to split them. So with Rusev out,
could you come up with some better terminology than that?
No, it's accurate in all forms of the term. Someone did suggest, why not do Neville and Bo Dallas on the pre-show, and the winner gets in the chamber. You could do that. I still would guess Sheamus comes out of this with the title, but who knows? Let's go to...
You could have a surprise appearance by somebody.
Yeah, you could.
Which I guess Bray could be the person, but I mean, you know, bringing back somebody wacky.
Finn Balor. Because
it's
every single one of my scenarios is a way to get him to the main roster. Kenny in Galveston, you're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very well. What's up?
Anyway, I got a couple of questions for you. The first one is, with Lesnar now probably coming back, what are the possibilities that Seth Rollins will retain the WWE World Heavyweight Championship?
I think he's retaining tonight. I mean, I think that you've got to do the singles match with Seth and Brock, because it makes sense coming off WrestleMania. I mean, the title doesn't have to be on the line, but I don't see them putting the title on Dean Ambrose here tonight. Anything is possible, but I would be surprised.
I think they look at Ambrose as a guy that can get a reaction. They like him for things, but you know, I think Rollins is, you know, 99% of a chance coming out of this, because again, if he's going to lose that belt, why to Ambrose and not to Lesnar, not to Reigns, not to one of those two guys, unless you're going to really, you're trying to do something between Rollins and Triple H and you need to get to it really fast. That would be the only reason that he would lose the belt to Ambrose to me.
Hey, speaking of Triple H, they just showed the deal where Rob Van Dam did the frog splash off the cage and landed on Hunter's neck, nearly killed the guy. If those of you remember that from many, many years ago, which actually
broke his wrist too.
Yeah, I want to thank you very much for the call, Kenny, by the way. That reminds me that I did a flying mare in the newsletter around that time, and I did a flying mare about that incident, and I remember that Vince McMahon got extremely angry at me for that. If you want to know what it was, I'll let you go in the archives, because I'm not going to tell the joke here on the air. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from? Figure 4 line.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Dante. I'm in the 650 Northern California area. How are you guys today?
What's up, Dante?
Let me throw you a quick scenario for this Intercontinental match today. I was thinking that if Rusev is truly been ruled out of this, why wouldn't the New Day come over and petition to get Big E inserted into the match and then have Big E win the Intercontinental title? Thereby, at that point, they're controlling the tag title, they're controlling the Intercontinental title, and since they've been so entertaining, how do you see that scenario playing out?
That is not the worst idea in the world. I don't expect it to happen because I think they like doing the Freebird deal with the New Day, but you could do it. It's not the worst idea in the world.
Intercontinental title, too, in a humorous way.
That's right.
So is Xavier Woods then, and that's him, because he's, you know, there's one of the reasons why I don't think they do it, is that I don't think they're necessarily keen on, you know, they like the Kofi Big E tag team, and that is probably the best working tag team there, but, you know, I guess you could do a thing where Xavier still does not have the opportunity to wrestle, and Big E is just doing everything.
Well, the other problem that you're going to run into, I want to thank you very much for the call, the other problem you're running into is that after Brock Lesnar faces Kofi Kingston in Japan on July 4th, you may need Big E and Xavier as the tag team champions, because God only knows how Kofi will be after that match.
Look at Lana's dye job from Monday.
It's amazing.
It's that was an amazing segment.
A little more toner on the sides. Is that what you're trying to say?
As I am looking forward to Lance Storm being on the show this week. I know it's going to be slightly outdated, but I need to hear his thoughts dealing with you in this whole scenario.
Oh, that's right. He thought this segment sucked, so we're going to have it out on the show. All right, we're going to head to a break. If you're on the line, stand by. We'll pick you up when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We only got a moment here, but to the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Habib from India.
Habib, your phone sounds terrible, but what's up?
Do you have any information on the Elimination Chamber match lineup?
Do we have any information on what?
Elimination Chamber match lineup.
What about it?
Do you have any information on it?
I think he's asking me if I have any information
on
it.
Any information on it? Well, we've kind of been talking about it the whole show and went through the odds and everything. And again, it certainly John Cena and Kevin Owens, although the odds are close as far as wrestling terms goes, John Cena's still the favorite, although that there's going to be a lot of question coming out of that match when it comes to the Chambers, as we talked about. New Day and Sheamus look to be the odds-on favorites. And that's really about it right now, other than maybe Naomi getting the win over Bella and Paige.
Sorry to disconnect him, but it sounded like he was yelling at me from India. A connection right there. Yes, we are going over the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view here today, everybody. We'll be talking about all of the matches, and we will be talking some news in hour two as well. We are here for 2 hours today. The pre-show is about to kick off for WWE. Rusev officially out of the Elimination Chamber. We'll talk about a lot of other news as well. And actually, do you have any information about the Chamber match lineup? He just tweeted me. Yes, we've been going down the lineup here on the program, so I'll run over it again here in the second hour, so you can tune in for that. All the way from India, I very much appreciate it. He says, it is me on the phone, and my network sucks. Well, it did suck when you called in. All right, well, stick around. I'll run over the card when we come back from the hourly break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes. The list goes on and on. The most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. We're here for another hour here today. Man, I got a lot of stuff. We got people calling like crazy on the phones, 855-478-4478. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. We'll be taking calls here in just a moment. Elimination Chamber pre-show has started. And where to begin with this news? First off, they did just show a shot of Rusev making his way into the building on crutches. He is off the show, and he is going to be replaced by... I've been given a teaser here that I guess I can reveal to the world. But this person who is replacing him is a former world champion, which could mean any of about a million people. But a former world champion is going to be replacing Rusev in the Elimination Chamber match tonight. So I guess you're all going to have to tune in and find out who that is. That is number one. Number two, Paul here says, I forgot to mention when talking about the monkey in Wrestle Madness, the monkey is voiced by Will Sasso, who once wrestled Bret Hart on Nitro. That is correct. That does not make me want to see the movie, but I would throw that out there. I have got a Instagram photo here of a show, a New York sports bar, I guess, that is in fact hosting the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. So there you go. And I also got a list of former world champs who are in the building. Should I read out who these are right now, Mike? Because this will let everybody down if I read them.
Sure.
Okay. Among the former world champs who are in the building, The Miz is there, and The Big Show is there.
Is Chris Jericho there?
I don't know if Chris Jericho's there, but I don't think it's going to be Chris Jericho.
Is Luthez there?
I will guarantee Luthez is not in the building.
Frank Gotch, not in the Elimination
not
Chamber
in
tonight.
The Elimination Chamber.
But you know who is? All three members of the New Day who just spoke to Kane, and all three of them will be competing, but they will have the same size pod as everybody else.
So they're putting... That's not fair.
Well, that's what Xavier was saying, but they pulled him away.
Wait a second. Oh, I see. Xavier was noting it wasn't fair that they were all three in the match?
Yes, it was a little claustrophobic. No, he's happy about that because of their service to the... to the authority, but you know he
I love that they're forcing all three of those guys into that cage. Man, that's too bad for them. All right, everybody, we're gonna head to a break. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll be taking your phone calls. We got plenty of people on the lines, and we'll be talking more about Elimination Chamber. So stand by. Back in a moment. Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Elimination Chamber is here. And apparently there are other potential world champions in the building tonight, including Chris Jericho, Randy Orton, and Kane. Apparently they're all in the building. So many possibilities for this mystery slot here on the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. The pre-show is on the air right now, and we're going to be taking phone calls. I promised our caller from India, Hardeep, that I would run over the card, so here we go. The official card at the moment, Neville and Bo Dallas, which is going to be on the pre-show, should be kicking off at any time. Triple threat match for the Divas title, Nikki Bella, Paige, and Naomi for the women's belt. Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose for the WWE World Heavyweight title. John Cena versus Kevin Owens. Singles match, The New Day. Apparently all three of them against the Lucha Dragons, Tyson Kin Cesaro, the Primetime Players, the Ascension, and Los Matadores for the tag team titles in a Elimination Chamber match. Another Elimination Chamber match for the vacant Intercontinental title. Sheamus, Ryback, Truth, Barrett, not Rusev, and Dolph Ziggler. Rusev will be replaced by a random former World Heavyweight Champion or WWE Champion who could virtually be anybody who's not a mid-card geek on the main roster. I should mention, by the way, that now that I think about it, Xavier was right. It's not fair that all three of those guys are in the cage because that's three men who could potentially be pinned to be eliminated from that match.
Yes, but he was satisfied with that. He looks at it as an advantage. There's a third guy in the ring because of the service that they have given to the authority. That was their reward. He is upset about the fact that they are all going to be trapped in the pod because he's a little claustrophobic. But then they had this on with the volume down. But then they quickly pulled him away, I guess, not to anger Kane and screw anything up. You know, the possibilities are endless here as far as comedy goes, which is exactly what you'd want in the Elimination Chamber. But can you imagine Big E singing several editions of R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet as he waits to come out of the pod?
Perhaps he will. We got 9 million people calling, so let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Michael from Florida.
Yes, Michael.
Hi. So I was tuning into the pre-show, and I was just curious if either one of you knew anything about what I was going to ask them. I noticed that they're using the normal HD set, but I know that this was originally scheduled to be a house show. So I was just curious as to, like, how the building would differ if they're using the larger setup for the stage than they normally would for a house show, and how that affects the attendance.
Well, my guess would be that they're going to sell significantly more tickets for a pay-per-view than for a house show. So I would guess that the number of people that had bought tickets for the house show, if you just shuffle them around, you've got room to put the big set in. So I doubt anybody was turned away. When they reconfigured it for the pay-per-view, they may have had room for some more tickets, but as noted, I'm sure the house show didn't come close to selling out the building or anything like that.
No, I think the number on the building is about 8,500, I think it was. So, you know, if they sold 4,000 for the house show, you know, it's been, what, 2 weeks now? Maybe they got, you know, another 1,500, 2,000 people, and then you have the big setup of the stage and everything, and, you know, it doesn't turn out to be too bad, I guess.
All right, to the phones, you are on the Figure Four line. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is John from Memphis, Tennessee, defensive Berhad's biggest fan.
I heard about you earlier today. You were requesting information about the convention coming up in July. Is that right?
Oh, I just want to besides that, yeah, because I can't wait to meet Vince. And Vince is going to be there, right?
Vinny is definitely going to be there. Are you going?
Probably so. I have to make some arrangement with my job, man.
Sure.
I can't wait to show you my scar, man.
I can't wait for you to show Vinny your scar either.
Well, thank you. And I'll tell you the full story there one day, guys. But let me get back to this.
Wait a second. The story that you sent in, I guess it was only 100 words, so there was probably much more to the story, I would guess. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, that's plenty more. That's just one of my escalades. That's the least dangerous one.
One of your escalades?
One of my worst situations. That's the least dangerous one I have ever been in.
Okay. All right. Well, what's your question?
That's the least dangerous one.
Yeah,
we don't
need to talk any more about this on this particular show. This is a bad show to be talking about his various escapades. What is your question, John?
All right. First of all, that Cena match, is it title versus title? It's just
there's no title on the line. It is a non-title match.
All right. Owens has signed a contract to be on the main roster. Correct.
Yes.
All right. That's one thing. My thing is this. Outside of these two matches, what else should I be excited to see on this pay-per-view? I know that Rollins is pretty much just going to win the title. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee because you're going to get the same thing we saw 2 weeks ago. I really don't care about the Intercontinental title because it's the same stuff we saw at WrestleMania. It's just with an Elimination Chamber match. And I hate to admit that. I don't care about the women's match. I don't care about any other matches. Only two I really want to see is Kevin Owens versus Cena. And if might be that Kevin Owens win, that would be a good push for him. It would be too much like right, but I don't know.
Well, Vinny V's favorite fan, stand by for a second here. First off, what you have to be excited about here is not so much who's going to win the belt, for example, because, I mean, who cares who wins the Intercontinental title, but that should be a good match. The draw of this particular show is, are these matches going to be good? You take all of these tag teams and you put them together in an Elimination Chamber match, I can almost guarantee you that match is going to be great. I can almost guarantee the Intercontinental title match is going to be great. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose have been working the house shows, and those matches reportedly have been great. And I'm pretty sure John Cena, Kevin Owens is going to be great. So it's not about who wins necessarily, but you're going to get some very, very good matches.
Well, I understand that, but here's my thing. I kind of want to, if the tag team elimination chamber match, I agree with you, it's going to be probably, it's going to be either very awesome or it's going to be, hey, you know the old saying, having too many cooks in the pot, it's going to be either
too many cooks in the kitchen,
very bad.
But yes.
But you know what I'm saying, too many cooks in the kitchen, it's either going to be very
You don't want too many cooks
bad.
In the pot. You want to avoid that.
But you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
All right. That's number one. I kind of want to see John Cena face somebody different. This is going to be one of the first few times that he's going to face somebody that he hasn't faced. somebody new in what, 2 years?
Well, no. Hey, if you've been watching, I want to thank you very much for the call. The John Cena Open Challenge has been one new guy after another. So I can't say this is his first new guy. I mean, he's faced various geeks, quite frankly, but they've been new guys over the last month, 2 months, actually. So I think this is going to be a good show. I'm a positive fellow. This is going to be a good show. Let's go to John in Arkansas here. John, you're on the Sports Byline line. What's up? Hello, John. Is John falling asleep?
Damn, John.
John, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What are you doing that you were not on the air for 15 seconds there?
I have no idea.
If it's got anything to do with Valentina Nappi, don't tell us.
Did you fall asleep? Hey, John, listen. John, stand by. I hate to do it. We only got 45 seconds, but since you were asleep, we're going to put you on hold, and we'll pick you up when we come back from the break. Please try to stay awake, my friend. We're going to head to a break, everybody, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the Elimination Chamber, taking your calls. You know the numbers, 855-478-4478, as well as 1-800-878-PLAY. It's 1-800-878-7529. Back in a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live, Mike Sempervivi as well. We are here every single day. Don't forget the replays daily. We replay at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. This show is going to replay tomorrow, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern, Sports Byline USA. If you add in all of the replays, we are here on Sports Byline USA 21 hours a week. Virtually impossible to miss this show. If you listen to Sports Byline USA, we got a million callers here on the line. I should add before we go back to John that they have added a match to the pre-show. Even though they weren't going to have a match, they are going to have a match now. It is Stardust versus Zack Ryder of all matches. Speaking of mid-card geeks, that is the pre-show match. And also Miz will be interviewing Daniel Bryan, allegedly, unless that's changed. So that is the update. John, what is the update on your end? Are you awake?
I am here.
Okay. What's happening?
I guess something happened where it didn't relay over when you connected over to me. So I am here now.
Okay.
I had a quick question. How long do you think it's going to be until we have Mr. Finley Jr. acclimated into WWE system? Because kid looks pretty impressive just from first showings that I've seen of him. Plus, I'm hoping that Mike and you guys are wrong and that we are going to get a Kevin Owens win over John Cena. I just don't think it makes any difference. And as far as the Big Show returning, I have no problem with Big Show returning as long as he is never put with Kane again and he is not put as the smiling, happy giant, let's all go out and skip through the forest type crap. Don't want to see that. I want big, angry, mean, nasty, snot-slinging Big Show.
Fire-breathing is what you're looking for.
That too.
Yes. John, I want to thank you very much for the call. A couple of things there. I think that there's a very good chance that Kevin Owens wins. I just don't think he's going to pin John Cena clean in the middle of the ring. There are a lot of ways you could give the guy a win without doing that. As far as everything else, what else did he say, Mike? I actually completely forgot. I was distracted by this Stardust match. Can't believe I'm seeing it with my own two eyes.
Well, it's, by the way, is this to get to something with Stardust and somebody else? Isn't he supposed to be dealing with an actor at SummerSlam or something? Arrow?
Yes, actually, that is true. They are going to do that match. It's been announced. Cody's going to be facing whoever that is. I don't follow comic books, so I don't know. The guy that was playing,
From Arrow. That's who it is. Let's not beat around the bush here. It's the dude from Arrow. That's all you need to know.
What's his character?
Does it matter?
The Green Lantern?
No, the Arrow. Green Arrow.
Oh, it is? Green Arrow? Okay.
Yes.
Sorry. Apologize to all the comic book fans out there. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian and Mike. It's Danny Hernandez. How are you?
The last segment of calls threw me off my game, but I'm trying to recover. Danny, what's happening?
Sorry, John, by
Save
the way.
Save the show.
Well, I want to talk about Dario Cueto's your brother eating Bale's face off.
That's a good one. Let me
jump in here and say something, though. I was told that, and I don't know if I believe this, but this person should know. He said that the storyline was not that Dario Cueto's monster brother ate a man's face. He said the story was that the other two guys had taken him over to the cage that Dario Cueto's brother is in, and they had cheese grated his face against the cage, and that's why there was blood everywhere. That was the way it was explained to me. I don't know if that's true, because it sure seemed to me like his face had been eaten or clawed off. But that
I
was,
just took it as he was getting the hell beaten out of him, and that's what the result was. Although I like the idea that Dario Cueto's brother is on bath salts in a cage and ate his face.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because I completely agree with you and Vinny said that I don't think they debuted the monster yet. Because I don't think any of the tapings have said like Monster versus Black Lotus or whatever.
No, I don't. But I don't believe the monster will probably debut until the next season.
Because you said like what I have in my mind, whatever they debut, unless it's like I don't know, like they bring like the mountain guy from Game of Thrones to be his brother. Like what I have in my mind can't be topped. But I think I think Vinny had like a great point. Like it could be a mini. Like don't be surprised. Like,
that was my idea and I was joking. It's not going to be a mini.
No, I'm serious. Because what if it's Porky? What if Super Porky is Dario Cueto? He eats a lot.
Porky is not a mini. No, if anything, he's a maxi.
I mean, you know, it could be just something, too, where, you know, he waits until, like, Rey Mysterio, obviously, they've already, you know, they haven't shown it on TV yet, but the question mark up there on the billboard, and if they go on, Rey Mysterio is going to be a big part. Maybe a Dario Cueto starts to lose a little control or feel that he's losing control because of guys like, you know, Mysticis is not in yet, Mysterio's not in yet, Del Rio has not been used to max potential there. So as you go forward with this, maybe he feels like things are changing, and that's when he has to break out the monster, and then you can kind of go with that any way you want to.
I should mention, by the way, that I've now also been told, I love communicating live as we're on the air to get all these answers, that the storyline is, in fact, that his face was beaten in by the crew, and it is going to fit into the season finale. So whatever that means, I don't know what's happening on the season finale because I'm trying not to get spoilers, but that is the story there.
Oh, by the way, John asked about Dave Finley Jr. and
that's
how fast
right.
he'd get acclimated into the WWE system. And I would think, and again, I haven't seen much of him because of not watching so much of the Super Juniors, but I think it would be a long time because I think it's one of those things like DiBiase did with his kids and that Meng is doing with King Tonga. I think if he's got a spot there and he's got the ability to travel and learn, you know, go to Europe and go to Japan and he can use his name and be out there, I think that's a far better fit for him for now to gain experience and to be put in the WWE system unless they have a plan for him kind of right off the bat to do something in NXT, which I would not think they do.
By the way, isn't it funny that all of these wrestling legends, when it's time for their kids to get into the business, instead of sending them to NXT, they send them to other schools and or to Japan?
Well, hey, I mean, there are some guys like Les Thatcher, no bones about things, you know, as far as his feelings, you know, Lance Storm, no bones about things. But there's, you know, it's funny. We'll talk to wrestlers about the state of the business and everything, and they don't want to come off as bitter or they don't want to come off as anything other than supportive. But then you talk to them off the record and there's lots of things that they don't like. There's things that they still like from back of the day that had been ingrained in them for years, and they don't necessarily like some of the things that take place, you know. And everybody wants their kid to make money and be successful in WWE, but there's no reason for a lot of these guys to rush it. Go get the experience of being out there, of traveling, of putting up the ring, all of those things that, and again, they do a lot of that at NXT too, but again, do it the same way that they did, or at least as close as you can in nowadays, which is you have to travel the world because you can't travel territories.
Let's go to Nate in Tulsa. Nate, what is going on?
Brian, how dare you have me on hold for that long?
I apologize, Nate, but you're on the air now, so let's make the most of it.
Don't let it happen again. Real
backwards,
quick,
Tulsa.
The surprise entry for the Elimination Chamber has to be Kane.
Because he can wear his new tights?
Awesome.
Exactly. I've been waiting on this for weeks. This is the time. It's going to happen tonight.
I would be so happy if he debuted in his new tights, but I don't think it's going to happen, Nate.
I know, but, you know, man can only dream. But one more question.
One more John on hold. We'll hold him.
A ton of people want to get on the air as well. With Owens being on the show tonight and Finn Balor possibly being called up soon,
I know they signed Joe to NXT, but what are the chances that they start to send other current WWE roster guys down to NXT to kind of help rebuild kind of that main event picture?
I would listen. I want to thank you very much for the call, Nate, and the tights. I would be a big, in fact, I have been a big proponent of the idea of taking dudes off the main roster that are doing nothing in WWE, and I'm watching two of them right now, Stardust and Zack Ryder, and sending them down to NXT and letting them work programs down there, freshen them up, maybe even give them a new gimmick and then bring them back to the main roster. I think, especially if you're going to be doing different tours where you've got an NXT low-level tour and then an NXT main eventers tour, I mean, man, send Stardust to the low-level developmental tour and let him teach these guys how to work. I mean, Cody's a great worker, but he's completely lost in the shuffle here, beating Zack Ryder on the pre-show of this Elimination Chamber show. So I agree wholeheartedly that that's the way that they should do it.
Jack Swagger could go down there, be sent down, and revitalize his gimmick, come back as Swaggy J.
Hey, where is Jack Swagger? Maybe he'll be the mystery man in the chamber.
That's possible. He could be down there defending the border right now, hopefully with Zeb Coulter.
That's right. Let's go to the Figure 4 line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
How's it going, guys? This is Tanner in Baton Rouge.
Well, what's happening?
Not too much. I just had two quick questions for you. You mentioned that Wade Barrett is filming a new movie, but isn't Sheamus also filming the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
He has been signed to appear in the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, as in fact has the guy Stephen Amell from Arrow. But I don't think that's shooting imminently. So I think Sheamus is okay for a little while.
Okay. And then my second question was, what's the status of Kevin Owens being able to do the package pile driver? Is that kind of a banned move because it's a pile driver?
I don't think he's done the package. Has he done it yet? I don't think he has he, Mike?
I don't think he has either.
Yeah, I would guess that's on the ban list.
Okay.
And I mean, I can see them doing that, but I think,
Thank you.
If a big blow off with something, you know, like a C, that's a WrestleMania move, I think, if he's going to break that out.
Well, Seth did do a Q&A. I think it might have been for Wizard World, but he did a Q&A recently, and he flat out stated, no more curb stomp, guys. I believe that was his exact words. It's gone, guys. So that's on the banned list, and I would strongly suspect that the package pile driver is as well. We're going to head to a break. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here as always. Go back to the phones here in a second, but first off, the weekly rundown. What did you miss as a non-subscriber? Or if you're a subscriber, what did you miss since we did 9 million shows last week? Monday, Figure 4 Daily with Tom Lawler, giving some insight into the Reebok meeting that all of the UFC talent went to. Tom Lawler is a UFC fighter. He has a weekly show here on this figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Also, we talked about network content. We had an Observer Radio talking Raw and a Retro Observer newsletter talking WrestleMania 14. Tuesday, the Brian, Vinny, and Craig show talking Raw and Nitro. Wednesday, an Observer breaking news audio on the ROH to Destination America story. And also an Observer Radio with more on the deal, Lucha Underground, and the brand new Observer newsletter talking Ring of Honor, Destination America, and more. Thursday, Brian and Vinny's show talking the Wednesday Night War with Granny. Friday, classic Figure 4 Daily appearance with Brian Danielson, a.k.a. Daniel Bryan, who's about to appear here on the WWE Network, being interviewed by... Is that the Grim Reaper? What is he wearing?
What is this dude wearing?
I don't know. Anyway,
I think
we also...
a pair of women's winter boots.
Now, we also had an After Dark Radio. Hold that thought. Figure 4 Weekly talking the history of ROH and TNA. Saturday, the debut of Josh Nason's new Punch-Out show. And Sunday, Brian and Vinny and Observer Radio. Every single day, we had Observer Live as well. That's a lot of shows you missed if you're not a subscriber. It's only $10.99 a month. You get every single show that we do, plus 7,000 archived shows. So if you're not a subscriber, check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. And yes, Miz is wearing, I don't know what, Cossack, is that the right word?
No idea.
What is he wearing? He looks like Princess Leia. About to interview Daniel Bryan here on the pre-show.
And Summer Rae's kind of decked out as, like, you know, one of those gold Christmas balls that you would hang on a tree. It's this is a hell of a combo.
I had forgotten that they were together. I had forgotten that. All right, let's go to the phones first. Who do we have here? Let's go to another John. You're on the Sports Byline number. John, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm hoping that Lesnar goes in, but, you know, it's probably not too of a high...
Into the Elimination Chamber? Probably not.
Yeah, but then I have a question. Me and my friend, I was the one that called last week about the Money in the Bank, Brock Lesnar one, you know?
Yes.
I don't know if y'all remember that or not. I couldn't stop laughing, but...
I do remember because I thought it was an awesome idea.
Okay. Well, the one thing I know is if... I got a question, but we do have kind of a theory, too, but do you think they'll keep Seth Rollins as the record holder so they get rid of CM Punk's record, so they get rid of his name altogether, or do you think that he'll lose it sooner?
I think he's going to lose it sooner, and I'll tell you why. CM Punk had a cool record, but it certainly was not the record. It was a record they made up, the longest reigning champion of the modern era. I mean, they'd never mentioned anything like that before. They don't ever need to mention it again. I mean, the longest reigning champion, as far as I know, is still Bruno. I don't think anyone's even close.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't expect them to have him hold it that long.
Okay, we were just wondering how they're going to... Are they just going to fade him off slowly, you think? Just try to... Because, you know, everybody's still yelling his name and stuff, and we kind of miss him at our house, but, you know, I didn't know you think they'll actually fade away or something.
Yeah, I expect him, especially when he starts going to UFC. I want to thank you very much for the call. Once he goes to UFC, it's like he's... It's not like people aren't going to ever chant his name, but AJ is gone, and I think everybody has got it set in their mind that he's not coming back, so I think they'll gradually fade away, and I certainly don't think you need to keep the title on Seth just to try to facilitate that process, but we'll see. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from? Figure Four Line.
Hey, guys. It's James in Tacoma.
Yes, James.
So I get... a two-part question, kind of. I'll just give you my questions, and I'll take the answers off the air. One, why does the WWE feel the need to bury every single King of the Ring winner they have? Two, why does the WWE continue to shoot their pre-show desk in a location that makes the building look significantly smaller than the hard cam? This frustrates me for reasons. This is like basic like production 101. I don't understand why they keep doing this.
I want to thank you very much for the call. I have absolutely no idea why they do that in terms of where they shoot the pre-show set. That is a great question. I think maybe they just figure that when they go to all of their other shots, the building is full. So who cares if it doesn't look full in the other shot? People will see it looks full elsewhere. That's the only thing I can think of, but it is a very, very good question. I would not shoot it there, but that's just me. And as far as... what's this other question? Oh, the King of the Ring. Dude, it's not just the King of the Ring. I mean, it used to be the Intercontinental title and the U.S. title. And depending on who you were, the world title as well. The idea was, hey, if this guy is the champion, we can beat him right and left. If this guy is the U.S. champion, we can beat him. If this guy's the King of the Ring, we can beat him. I think it's a terrible idea, but they seem to think that it's a good idea. And apparently we'll always be arguing about it because they continue to do what they do, and I have no idea why.
The state of the wardrobe on both of these two men that are sitting in the ring right now, both The Miz and Daniel Bryan, is something else.
Daniel Bryan at least always, he looks exactly like Daniel Bryan always looks. He looks like a guy from Washington.
That's a guy from Washington, you know, in his, I guess, mid-30s there. It's just The Miz is Doc Martin knockoffs with the tongues hanging.
Miz looks like he's going to do a photo shoot for National Geographic.
It's like, I don't know. It's just, maybe it's just the salmon shirt with the pattern is not, you know, I don't know. It's just, I guess it's a way to fill time. Although, what is this going to get to, do you believe? Could it be Daniel Bryan as one of the, he's not doing Tough Enough, correct?
No, he is.
Oh,
he's,
he is?
He's one of the judges, yeah.
Is that what this is to hype up here, or is it just so Daniel Bryan can embarrass The Miz?
I don't know. Hopefully someone will do a play-by-play on Twitter because we can't listen to it here on the air, but actually I could probably do the... It never works out quite right, but...
Yeah, it's not helping me out, the closed captioning.
Closed captioning, yeah.
Oh, right, by the way, Tomas in Poland says it's nearly 2 a.m. there, and I'm still watching the WWE Network, despite of canceling subscription. Any thoughts? I don't know. Isn't it free this month anyway?
Yeah, but you're supposed to sign up for it, so I don't know. Kevin, you are on the air. I know who you are. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing very well. All things considered, here.
Just a quick question. Has anyone mentioned if Christian was in the arena? Because I thought that might have been a good person to slide in Rusev's spot.
I don't think he's there, and if he was, I don't think they're going to use him, because I think after all of his concussion issues, I think he's essentially retired at this point.
Okay, so they because I don't remember ever hearing them officially retiring him or not, or him retiring. So I'm just kind of curious.
I believe it was a rather quiet retirement, and you never really retire in wrestling anyway. So, I mean, if he gets cleared, I mean, maybe he could come back. But as far as I know,
he's got the lawsuit, dude. Remember?
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, everyone has a lawsuit, though, that's led to nothing. So that ain't going to stop
Kali.
Him.
Great Kali in the main event.
That's right.
Or in the as a former world champion in the pod.
Well, definitely, you know, this is my first time listening to the show. Very impressed so far, and look forward to listening to y'all once again, and keep up the great work.
All right, hey, thanks so much for the call and being a first-time listener. Every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, and Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. And hey, everybody, if you're listening on Sirius Satellite Radio, and for whatever reason you can't find the show gets preempted or whatever, listen to me very carefully. iHeartRadio or TuneIn Radio, grab the app for your phone or for the computer and search Sports Byline USA, and you can listen to this show every day. So for you first-time listeners, iHeartRadio or TuneIn Radio, search Sports Byline USA, and we are here Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, and Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Those are new shows, so every single day, check us out. And if all else fails, if you go to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, there are Listen Live links, which work every day. So head to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, and you can always listen to the show 7 days a week. So head over there and check that out. To the Figure Four line, you are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
It's Jim from Virginia.
What's happening, Jim?
I was hearing you guys talking about the scene and the package pile driver and Seth Rollins about the curb stop. Well, I got a solution for one of them. You want some good curb stomp? Just go on YouTube or someone watch Cheerleader Melissa.
She's doing the curb stomp, huh?
She's been doing it for a long time.
Man.
There's not much she's bad at. I mean, she really is. It's going to be one of the unfortunate parts as you look back at this era of like people that maybe should have been signed by WWE. And boy, it's too bad that she's not one of them, because she'd be great in NXT.
Yeah, she had one little short stint in the WWF. I think it was still WWF then, and I've seen her. She was in there as Melissa Anderson, and she wrestled Victoria. I think on Sunday Night Heat, and that's about the only time I ever seen her in WWF.
Was it Raka Khan? What was her name in TNA? They had the Goofy. They had her all covered up.
Saeed.
Yeah, that's right.
Raisha Saeed.
Yeah.
Speaking of TNA,
Come on. You've got someone that looks like Cheerleader Melissa, and you give her a gimmick where she's covered head to toe.
It was so insane.
The way I understand it, she's the one that came up with it.
Well, she came up with the wrong idea.
Fed it to those fools. I'm sure she wasn't staying like that forever, but apparently who is staying like that forever? Curtis Axel and Macho Mandel.
Hey, I got to mention this because I promised. Tonight is a season premiere of Finding Bigfoot. That actually wasn't what I was going to mention, but it's my favorite show, so I thought I'd throw it out there. I wanted to mention the Ring of Honor Destination America TNA deal. Since we've gotten emails about this for days now, and I have got to make this very, very clear to everybody so we don't have expectations that are too high. There is not going to be any sort of ROH versus TNA feud. I mean, maybe years down the road, if one or the other goes out of business, and maybe that wouldn't even be years down the road, maybe if one of them goes out of the business and the other one procures the pieces, you could do a fake ROH versus TNA feud, But there's not going to be a Ring of Honor versus TNA feud. There's just not going to be. So everybody that is seeing this block on Wednesday nights and Ring of Honor followed by TNA and that repeating afterwards, this is not an angle. This is not a work between the two sides. They are not working together. There is little, if any, communication whatsoever between the two sides. They have spoken together in the past. Nothing has ever come out of it. I don't expect anything to come out of it anytime soon, particularly on the Ring of Honor side, because they are doing just fine on their own, and they are on the ascent. So just wanted to say that again, because I talked about it last night, and somebody in one of the companies emailed me today to thank me for that, just for making it clear. You could probably figure out which one. But yes, no Ring of Honor TNA storyline is in the works, is going to be in the works. So please don't expect that from this relationship with Destination America.
No, especially when that's, you know, TNA almost, I think some ways, almost wants you to think that, I think, or they may, if they have to talk about
ROH. I think they're telling,
ROH.
they're hinting that to the talent, and I hope the talent is aware this is not happening.
Well, it's, you know, you see a lot of things like, you know, people are getting worked by this story and that there's a work here involved, and Dixie saying that she knew about it, and it, which was one of the dumbest things she could say. If that's truly what she said to the talent, that she had an inkling of this and was not in the dark as everybody said she was. It's just a boy, what a long week it's been.
Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Don't forget, we are here again tomorrow and every weekday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. The WWE Elimination Chamber is about to kick off, and that means we are going to be watching the show here live. I'll probably be talking about it on Twitter at Brian Alvarez. And then later on tonight, only for subscribers, we have two brand new shows. We'll have the Brian and Vinny show. Two of us will review this card in detail. And then later, a brand new Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer. We'll be talking about the Elimination Chamber show, all of the matches, any angles that come out of the show. We'll preview Raw for tomorrow. We'll talk all of the news from the weekend and take your questions at mailbag@WrestlingObserver.com. Those shows only for subscribers. So if you're not a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com, I suggest you head up there and give it a shot. Try it for a month. If you don't like it, you never have to sign up again. But I think if you sign up, you probably will enjoy it, especially if you like this show. In fact, I've said many times, if you like this show, I guarantee you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. So we'll be back later on tonight with that. And of course, Mike and I will be back tomorrow. We've got a big week ahead on Wrestling Observer Live, including a lot of guests. Harley Race, one of the biggest names in the history of pro wrestling, is going to be on the show Tuesday. We'll also be joined by Chris Hero on Thursday. So a lot of great stuff coming up. I want to thank Mike, as always, all of the folks at Sports Byline at USA, all of the callers today, and you, the listeners. We'll be back again tomorrow with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.